Good afternoon. Welcome to The Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your urge to get in touch, you can call 66 13 68, text 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com, whatever's on your mind. The test, by the way, at 20 past 4 yesterday, the 11th of January, there were 23,826 tests. 23,814 have been concluded. 12 people waiting results. 164 people waiting for a test. Total active cases, 27. Nobody in hospital. And there were 7 new cases yesterday. We're on lockdown day 6. Crikey, tomorrow it's almost been a week. And we're still getting cases coming through. There should be a media briefing this hour. We've not heard about when the media briefing is going to be this afternoon. When it is, of course, you'll hear it live on Manx Radio. Any thoughts? Anything on your mind? There was confusion during and after the coronavirus media conference yesterday with a changing numbers game. It's a bit like watching The Chase, really, as they were changing the numbers. First of all, it was 6 new cases. Actually, it's 7. Active cases 27 for the definitive look, Alex Watton.
Yes, it wasn't the easiest briefing to follow as 2 journalists asked the Director of Public Health and Health Minister to go over the latest figures, which didn't seem clear really until the conference ended when the government figures were released on Twitter and clarified the situation. But rather than confuse the matter further, I'll just go over the main points. 7 new cases announced yesterday, 27 active cases, all in self-isolation, none being treated in hospital. But perhaps the most reassuring piece of information came from Chief Minister Howard Quayle following the announcement last week that a student at St Mary's Primary School had tested positive for coronavirus after being at school for 2 days.
I am able to confirm that the test results that we were waiting for in connection with St Mary's Primary School have now all come back. We conducted over 90 tests and they are all negative. Now this is encouraging and I'm sure it will be reassuring to many. And of course it is. But as we have said on a number of occasions, a test is only a snapshot of a moment in time. Those who were identified as close contacts will still have to isolate until we are sure that there is no longer any risk.
Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Hewitt, gave us a breakdown of some of the significant new cases and the state of play.
The very good news there is that the over 90 high-risk contacts have all come back with negative tests. They are self-isolating. They will have further tests because it is possible that they will go on to become positive and indeed become infectious. But they shouldn't be a risk to others because they are now managed within self-isolation. The good news is that at the time they were out and about, they were negative, so they weren't an infection risk at that point. In relation to the other case from last week, the adult who presented with symptoms, one colleague from a work setting has tested positive there. And again, that is under control through self-isolation and onwards testing. So no wider implications on that one. Another case from last week also has a contact who tested positive at day 7. And again, because they were already in isolation and were negative at the point at which they went into isolation, they are not out in the community posing any further risk of transmission. On Saturday evening, a positive case was confirmed in someone who presented to COVID-111 with symptoms. Contact tracing identified a significant number of high-risk contacts relating to social activities across the new year period. A number of these contacts have now also had positive tests, and so further and wider contact tracing is ongoing. Although in terms of timing, all the current cases are likely ultimately to link back to one or other of the clusters that we had across Christmas and the new year period, in reality, we are now at a point where we're never likely to actually be able to firmly confirm that one way or another due to the passage of time and the fact that there may well be people who are part of that transmission chain who didn't present with symptoms probably because they remained asymptomatic, but who, even if we identified them now, would return a negative test. So we will never know exactly what that chain of transmission was.
It's again been reiterated then that COVID-19 is spreading in the Manx community. And Mr. Quayle says from midnight tomorrow, further government measures will reflect that.
These will come into effect from 1 minute past midnight, Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Let me start with education. In those education facilities that are still open, we will be further tightening our processes. The first point is to make is why the hubs are there. They are there for vulnerable children and the children of essential workers when this is essential, where they have no alternative possible arrangements. We will be reinforcing bubbles within schools. This is about keeping together children of the same age groups or those who have come to the hub from the same school. We will be issuing further advice on face coverings in schools. This will continue to strongly advise face coverings for all adults and secondary age students where they can. If primary age children have a mask of their own, we would encourage them to wear it also. We have also considered whether we need to make changes to the retail. We are not proposing major changes to current measures, but we will be requiring garden centres to close. We will also require all hardware and building supplies to close to the general public. They can remain open for trade customers. They can continue to offer click and collect services to others. The message here is clear. Essential shopping is allowed, but please do not go shopping for things that are not essential.
The next government media conference isn't now until tomorrow, as Mr. Quayle says they are now to take place on Monday, Wednesday and Fridays.
So now we've heard. Wednesday and Friday, the next media briefings, and of course that'll be live on Manx Radio. Note in from Islay News, and Andy, what are the latest vaccination figures? Well, figures for yesterday, they carried out 391 vaccinations yesterday. That is now a total, if you put together what happened last week for the 3 days, that's 1,432 vaccinations so far. 391 yesterday. Islay, thanks for that question as well. So there we go. We've got it finally, seven, and the headline, of course, is that it's likely COVID is circulating in the community, which is why we're in the situation we're in. More points as well from yesterday. Lots of people sent me emails of flowers. I'll come to the flowers later. The flowers thing seems to have gone wild, which is great news. Nature at this time of the year. Was it fair game to criticise Paul Moulton personally and professionally? I, for one, share his frustration. The government complacency and casual attitude after the 1886 outbreak will cost us dearly financially. It remains to be seen how it will impact on public health, says Anna. A note in just regarding face coverings, the majority of the population are adhering to government advice and wearing them. However, this should now be made mandatory with shops adopting the policy of no face covering, no entry, says this correspondent as well. Lots of questions. A lady also sent me in, how many questions? Three big questions as well regarding vaccinations. I'll just go through them briefly. And it regards Mr. Ashford saying that we should get one tray of vaccine per week. There was a sentence on a website that said there are six trays of the Pfizer vaccine on the Isle of Man, and the health department plans to administer about 300 a day. Well, obviously, yesterday was 391. The latest questions for Mr. Ashford were, if the six trays will vaccinate 3,000 people over the course of 6 weeks, is the plan to vaccinate another 3,000 over the following 6 weeks as well? And are they going to use the remaining 2 or 3 days of the week to use the Oxford vaccine? What's the total number of medical and associated staff, nurses, care workers, care home residents, and how many other over 80s are there in the population? Keeps going. And please can they announce it every time they get a new tray, and likewise tell us if they didn't get one when it was expected. The same for the vaccine. So basically, I think this lady who doesn't want her name mentioned, but she knows who she is, wants a kind of day by day regarding the vaccine. I wonder how you think about that, whether that will be helpful just to keep on top of where we are with the vaccination, or is it enough for the lockdown measures as well. Leslie said, Andy, I think we have to accept COVID's being reintroduced into Ireland by people travelling from other jurisdictions. The increase in cases in the UK, especially of the new variant, were clear to everyone. We should have reintroduced at the beginning of December a tighter border regime, with all returning residents being isolated on return at a designated venue, tested, and then again after 14 days being allowed into the community. Even now, the government hasn't introduced a full border lockdown, with medical emergencies only to be allowed to leave. Why hasn't the government acted more decisively and earlier? Well, earlier is hindsight. It didn't, and that's all there is to it. Surely we could all see the writing on the wall. I just wonder whether there were outside influences on Mr. Quayle and his ministers. I think it's a poor show compared to how they handled the earlier lockdown. Well, they handled the earlier lockdown well. I mean, they don't suddenly become bad decision makers. Presumably, they're running the same rule over it all. There was a clear list of occupations that were restricted and unable to work. Builders, painters, gardeners. This time a gardener is even having to ask the government himself, as it isn't clearly stated under the business guidance. The gardener in the news clearly states he can socially distance without clearly stating who cannot and who can work. This leads to people being unclear about the government and the direction. And also, says Leslie, I think there are a lot more vehicles on the road. Everybody seems to go with that at the moment, Leslie. There do seem to be many, many more vehicles than the lockdown last summer. Text, email or call. You can get in touch. You can put your point of view on the man in line as well. We have, says Dick, so much to be grateful for through the pandemic. But yesterday's briefing, I didn't think went well. It took over half an hour to hear the answer to the most basic question. How many active cases are there? Even then, the health minister had to fumble through his papers and had to go online to look it up on his iPad. Surely the minister and chief minister should have been better prepared than this. And why do they have to keep asking Dr. Ewart for answers that they should know themselves? We were promised last week they'd be clearer with the numbers, but yesterday it was a bit of an embarrassment. Then we had the omission that we can't supply vulnerable school children with masks in their hubs as we don't have enough. We've had 6 months to prepare for this, and in week one, we're having to ask them to reuse their own. I think it's wrong, says Dick. I'm sorry, but it should have been much better than what was shown yesterday. But be safe, be well, be happy. Thank you, Dick. Well, at least the government is open and is providing information. What you make of the information, of course, is up to you. But I don't think we can criticise the government for not getting out. But Sue's with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I keep wondering what's going to happen when most people on the island especially have had the vaccine, but is going to probably be a percentage of people who don't want to have the vaccine. Now, say if that is about 1%, then that would be 900 people. Now, if we're all walking around vaccinated and carrying the coronavirus, if we pass the coronavirus on to these people who haven't been vaccinated, then that in its own value puts the NHS and the beds at Nobles under duress. So would we still all have to go into another lockdown if the people who have chosen not to have the vaccine start coming down with coronavirus?
Well, the vaccine only mitigates the symptoms, doesn't it? It doesn't stop you getting the thing, it just stops you. So presumably those people who don't want the vaccine don't mind dealing with the symptoms.
Yeah, but if there's enough people that don't have the vaccine, would that then put the bed state at Nobles under duress again?
Good point.
Everybody, even the people who have had the vaccine, would they all have to go under lockdown again?
Will you have the vaccine, Sue?
Yeah, I'll have it.
If you were offered it today, would you turn up and have it?
Yeah.
So what would you say to the people who are hesitant about the vaccine?
Well, say they're putting themselves at risk all the time, and they're putting the bed space at Nobles at risk. say if we've only got so many bed spaces for people who need to end up in hospital to be cared for, working on my idea of 1% is 900 people, then how many of that 900 people would be able to be accommodated? So if it's something, I understand that people are going to be nervous because it's a new vaccine, but there are vaccines about polio, there are vaccines about measles, mumps, rubella and that sort of thing. We've all lived with those for a very long time and they seem to have just about done the job. So if it's a vaccine that will help us all get back to a fairly normal life with the coronavirus, then why not have it?
Well,
if
as you say...
You've got these, sorry.
Go on.
Well, if you know that you've got these allergies and everything that are making some people react, then fair enough if you don't want to take it. But if it's just because you're a bit nervous about the outcome of what could happen, then I say cap your nerves and go for it.
Well, 1%, as you say, is 900 people. Even 0.1%, a tenth of a percent, is 90 people.
Yeah. And that is enough to put the bed space at risk. And as I say, would it mean that, again, we would all have to go into another lockdown because a percentage of people have chosen not to have it and they are then suffering badly and it's putting bed space at risk at Nobles.
Sue, have you made any sense of what we've gone through in the past year?
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? I mean, life throws things like this at us. You get the Spanish flu, you get the Black Death, you get the plague, you get all sorts of things that keep being thrown at the human race. And eventually they seem to come out of it. But how long it's going to take us to come out of this depends on us, doesn't it?
What are you looking forward to doing when things get back to normal?
Nothing really. I lead quite a boring life. So I suppose I work at a garden centre, so that's just been closed down. So I'm not being able to work at the moment. But
I only mentioned yesterday, Sue, about flowers coming through, and I got all sorts of photos. Dog sent me some primroses from Glenwillan. Nancy said she's had snowdrops and crocuses in her garden since Christmas. Christine in Baldrian sent me photos of primroses. There are celandines in the Howe Glen in Port St Mary. How are things at your garden centre?
Well, the garden centre had primroses and cyclamen and things like that in there. I've just been for a walk with my dog down into Glenwillan and there are snowdrops coming up in there. I've got narcissus coming up in my garden. They're not far off flowering in certain points if they're a bit sheltered and they catch the sun. So it is a wonderful time of year and it is giving some people more time to get out and appreciate it and see what's growing and what's not. But I would rather us get rid of this virus and be able to go out and enjoy it with that bit of freedom.
Okay, Sue, thanks for being with us today.
No problem.
25 past 12 on Manx Radio. What are your thoughts about the vaccine, by the way? It's here. It's been distributed just Monday to Wednesday, and we're getting through it as quickly as possible. More notes in about the traffic on the roads. Dee said, why is there so much traffic on the roads? Don't these people know that we're in lockdown? The bottleneck car park looks full on the webcam. If you haven't been to the Manx Radio webcam farm, you can go to the website, go on community. There are 18 webcams across the Isle of Man. You can see them all at the Manx Radio community page. Why doesn't the Isle of Man government volunteer the Isle of Man to work with the UK for a two-week blitz vaccination of 100% of all adults? So protecting the Isle of Man and instantly contributing to world knowledge on how populations might react to COVID after 100% mass vaccination. Such real-world knowledge is desperately needed, and a small, confined national population like the Isle of Man, being the size of a small town, really, in the UK, would be a world leader in such research and save the island lives, says Chris. A note from Danin. Why are some of the car showrooms allowed to stay open to sell cars? I think they're all socially distancing and clicking and collecting, and well, even people even at this time, people do need new cars. With the weather, sometimes cars just break down. Media briefing is Wednesday and Friday, unless there is a development. And Andy, why are the bus drivers exempt from face mask laws? A bus has just gone through Ballabeg towards Castletown. The driver doesn't have a face mask on as well. I'm a taxi driver. I'm disgusted that there's not in place testing on foot at the grandstand. And do we have a list of those public toilets that are open in Douglas yet? We were trying to find out yesterday. Well, certainly I think Nobles Park is certainly open. It's a bit of a schlep from the centre of Douglas, but then again, what else have you got to do? If anybody can tell, let's make it easier then. If you know that there are public loos closed, can you tell me? Email, text or call. Let's discuss public toilets. More messages in about celandines and primroses and crocuses, begonias in Grenaby, apparently, and begonias in the Ayres. Nature is flexing her muscles at both ends of the scale, the benevolent with the flowers and the malevolent, the bad side with coronavirus. I was taken aback the other day when I listened to the Chief Minister issue an appeal requesting people dispose of face masks in a safe way. This was as a result of several of the community leaving used face masks in shopping trolleys, says Aileen. This appeal would have appeared to have gone over the heads of many, as inappropriate disposal is beginning elsewhere. I took a quiet walk in the close Sartfield Nature Reserve in Balaf yesterday afternoon. Lo and behold, a pink face mask had been dropped over the fencing into a field where Lockton sheep were grazing close by. The spot was just yards short of a parking area where there was also a quantity of used tissues. Now we need to ask what kind of obnoxious ignoramus performs these acts, says Aileen. They must have no regard or responsibility for others, the countryside, or the spread of the disease, and very likely think others should be either clearing their mess or happy to see it lying around. Surely, in both ordinary times and these exceptional times, we should have an expectation of a higher level of civil behaviour. These culprits need to be found, named, and shamed where possible, and confined to their own small area where their detritus will hopefully bury them. Aileen, who was the parrot who dropped a pink face mask at the close Sartfield Nature Reserve?
Athol Garage are here to help our loyal customers with any of their motoring needs. Our workshop and hire departments both remain open as per government guidelines. And now we offer an all-island delivery and collection service. Stay safe from all of us at Athol Garage.
As we reflect on the year gone by, Harding Lewis would like to say how proud we are to support and advise local businesses. Being there for our clients to guide them through these challenging times has been rewarding and has strengthened our commitment to offer the highest level of service to the community. If you want to face the future with an experienced firm of chartered accountants as your business partner, visit hardinglewis.com or check out our Facebook page. See more, do more, together.
Everything in the garden's rosy. Rover the dog's happy. They're happy. And him? Well, he's loving our new automatic gates from the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company. He's enjoying using them so much, he's doing all the shopping. So I'm happy too.
For stylish automatic gates, barriers, shutters and doors, call the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company on 624 122 or visit manxgaragedoors.com.
And guess what, Rover? The automated garage doors just arrived.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Manx Radio Breakfast.
And we're now almost a week into the Island Circuit
break lockdown.
Even if we identified them now, would return a negative test, so we will never know exactly what that chain of transmission was.
I would happily abide by the rules, just so long as everybody else does.
What a beautiful response. The whole point of putting it on that page is because it's full of wonderful ladies.
And myself and Sian will be back in the morning from 7:30, rounding up all the latest coronavirus figures and developments.
So join us tomorrow for Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by Manx Telecom.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
28 minutes before one. Renee, hello.
Hello. I understand that when we are written to attend for the vaccination, we have to go to Nobles. Now, it's not particularly convenient if you live in the, right in the north of the island. I mean, I'm willing to drive there, but if we get a morning like we've had recently with the ice and black ice on the roads, then most of us aren't experienced in bad weather driving nowadays. So, I mean, I would probably have to ring up and say, no, I'm not driving in it.
Well, certainly I would say you can certainly ask for advice from them as to see whether they can put it off to another day. What you're suggesting, though, that they should perhaps use Ramsey Cottage Hospital as well?
Yes. And there's a health centre down in the south for them, isn't there? Is it Port Erin, Port St Mary?
There is, yes. Well, that's certainly something we can put to the Health and Social Care Minister, whether or not Ramsey Cottage Hospital... Well, obviously, it's very capable of doing all sorts of work there, isn't it?
Yes, didn't they run the flu injections in the courthouse?
They did. They did, yes. But, I mean, obviously, these COVID-19 injections, they're all brand new, and they want to make sure that they observe everything so that they seem paranoid about making sure they don't void the guarantee on them. And the warranty and everything, so you can say that. Well, let's just hope the weather holds then. If you have you been notified whether or not you're going to get the jab, Renee?
No, I mean, on the last lockdown, I did receive two letters saying to, or reminding me that I was vulnerable. But, I mean, there's a lot of us that are oldish, shall I say.
Well, it's funny, you know, we had a message yesterday, a gentleman in the north of the island who said, in the north, I think it was in Balaff, who just said, look, if it's in Douglas, I probably won't go for it. And does this mean I'll go to the back of the queue?
Yeah, probably you'll just be timed out, won't you?
All right, well, we'll wait and see, Renee. Thanks for calling us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, good to talk to you. Vernon with us. Good afternoon, Vernon.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just you were on about toilets. There's a small portion on the bottom of page 3 in the Isle of Man Examiner, which just says, caught short, public toilets across the Isle of Man will be closed for the duration of the 21-day circuit breaker lockdown in line with government COVID-19 restrictions. It's got something to do with the cleaning of them and everything, but they're meant to be shut, apparently.
I don't think... Well, I mean, of course, the Examiner went to print on Friday, probably. I think there are going to be some that will remain open because, I mean, genuinely, I mean, it is, you know, for some people it's funny, but, I mean, there are lots of delivery drivers who are whizzing across the island doing stuff and delivering parcels and, of course, postmen and people like that.
Oh, yes.
Who
yes,
get sir. Caught short and there is, you know, there's no two ways about it.
No. Well, there we are. That's what's in this paper, anyway.
Thanks for calling us today, Vernon.
Okay.
Andy. All right, very illuminating. And Roger, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just a question, please. I'm not sure whether yourself or any of your listeners would be aware. The NHS or DHSC or whomever send out the vaccination invites, I would just like to confirm for my own peace of mind as I've moved house that my contact details are actually up to date. I know my GP are details, but I'm just not sure where they get the addresses from.
Which database are they working from, you mean?
Correct, that's the word, yeah. And there must be lots of people, particularly over 80s, that maybe haven't got access or they've been out of date for a number of years. With their contact details. So it's just a means, really, of confirming that the correct details are on whatever database they're using.
So presumably, if they're using your GP's database, you'd be at the right address?
Yes, so I mean, that's one I can easily check online, which I have done. I have heard a few times that that's where they get the addresses from, but I'm not absolutely sure, and I'm personally pro-vaccine, and I would hate to miss out on the opportunity as and when it comes round.
Okay, Roger, thanks for being with us.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Take care.
24 minutes to one. Tony now. Hello, Tony.
Hi. Following on from what was said before, I think the government's missing a trick here, because you have two vaccines. One's very difficult to deliver, as Dr. Ashford or Mr. Ashford said, and I can understand that 100%. You can't let that loose at cottage hospitals or doctor surgeries. But the AstraZeneca is very easy to deliver, exactly the same as the flu vaccine, the normal flu vaccine we have every year. So why don't they modify their plans, which I know are always written in stone, but modify their plans such that everybody north of a certain line who can't get to Nobles Hospital has the alternative to have AstraZeneca at, for instance, Ramsey Cottage or their local surgery.
My word, Tony, that's out-of-the-box thinking.
Well, the issue is that's what the government should be doing, but the point is they don't. I get really disappointed with the lack of knowledge or thought that goes into these things by the people who are supposed to be managing it. It's horrendous. If they were working in industry, they'd all be fired because they'd all go broke.
Well, Tony, I can guarantee that somebody from the massed ranks of the government's communication team will be listening to the man in line, and they've heard what you've said.
Well, I hope it's taken in the right spirit. I'm not trying to criticise. I'm just saying, what is wrong with you? You have the opportunity. You have AstraZeneca on the island. For people who can't travel or people who find it difficult and phone up and say, I can't come to Douglas. OK, no problem. AstraZeneca, Ramsey Cottage, can you make that? Or I'll get some to your local surgery.
Tony,
it can't be that difficult.
Good. Thanks for bringing that to our attention today, Tony. I want to go to Betty. Good afternoon, Betty.
Oh, hi, Andy. I just think what the government has done with the second lockdown, it's just too little. It's too late. They should have, once they realised that the virus, the variety of it was going like mad in England, they should have locked us down then. It's just too late. That's one thing. And the second thing is, I think they're so afraid of being sued about the AstraZeneca vaccine that they're not distributing it. A simple thing they could do is get every person who has it just to write and say that they will not sue because of this virus.
Oh, I see. Just sign a waiver.
Yes, that would be quite simple. It wouldn't take a lot of, anything to do that.
Betty, how do you feel about the people who are dubious about having vaccines?
Well, I think they're just worrying over nothing, really, some of them. And some of them are just generally anti-vax. And I think they're a bit mad, really. I think they're a bit crazy.
Do you know if you're getting the vaccine?
I've had a letter today, and I've told them that I can't go up to Douglas because I'm not driving at the moment because I'm waiting for a cataract operation. So I don't know what's happening. I'm waiting for a call back from them.
And whereabouts are you, Betty?
Near Ramsey.
Okay. Let us know, Betty, if how that's resolved. It will be interesting to see how the government resolves that situation, which is obviously, it's a very plain, in-your-face situation.
Yes.
Okay, Betty, thanks for calling us today.
Thank you, Andy. It's a pleasure.
20 to 1 on Manx Radio. The man in line is Sid. Some good news about Loganair's continuing to cement its place as the Isle of Man's main airline. Well, at the moment, that's not saying much, to be quite honest. But let's keep our fingers crossed for the future, with flight frequency and destinations to increase from the spring into summer. And you're saying, Andy, when does spring start? Spring starts in 9 weeks. 9 weeks on Saturday, March the 30th, spring starts. And 10 weeks on Sunday the 28th, the clocks go forward the week after that. It's Easter. So only 9 weeks to spring, 10 weeks to the clocks going forward, 11 weeks to Easter. The Loganair has released its summer schedule, new routes planned and services on existing ones stepped up. Ewan Gorn's been looking at the new Loganair timetable.
After being backed with a significant sum by the government, Loganair has released an ambitious and optimistic programme of flights for the year ahead. New routes to Southampton and Belfast City will start up in May, with a seasonal service linking the island to Jersey running from the end of spring into the summer. There'll be double daily flights to Heathrow from the end of March, whilst those to Manchester will increase to two daily from the 1st of April. A route to Birmingham will also be reintroduced from that date, as well as services to Edinburgh. The frequency of flights to both Liverpool and Manchester is also set to increase in July. Seats for all the routes mentioned will go on sale today. The airline reports that many are keen to plan and book ahead in anticipation of COVID-19 vaccines, enabling air travel to take place widely and safely once again. Loganair is also intending on boosting the number of seats available on these journeys by using a larger ATR-72 turboprop aircraft, which can carry up to 70 people per flight. Chief Executive Jonathan Hinkle says a phased approach to increasing the number of flights on offer is being taken in anticipation of a progressive recovery from the pandemic and reopening of borders. He adds Loganair will continue to work closely with the airport management team at Ronaldsway and the Isle of Man government to prioritise public health and continued connectivity. A reminder, the airline employs pilots and cabin crew based in the Isle of Man and contracts the maintenance of its aircraft to local company M&A Technical Services, which is based at Ronaldsway Airport.
Ewan, go on looking at all that. If you want more information, by the way, the Loganair website is loganair.co.uk. We wish them well, and let's hope everything is sorted out for when their new timetable starts. Andy, stay at home means stay at home. Why don't people understand this? Not travel all over the island because your children are bored. Stay at home means stay at home. And Pat said, Andy, the construction industry proved during the last lockdown it could be trusted to work safely. Now it's closed down, yet another business is allowed to operate. What's more dangerous, packed supermarkets or open space building sites or gardening? As Howard said, don't go out for non-essential shopping. So why are coffee shops open? Is a coffee shop an essential? I think the coffee shops are open for takeaway only, aren't they? Why don't we insist, says Malcolm, on mandatory tests before people come or when they get here, rather than trusting them to self-isolate? How many people who'd been encouraged by the government to buy a property here have come over for 3, 5 or just a few days to sign up without tests or without isolating, says Malcolm. Well, I know for a fact anybody who's coming over, of course, is given very strict instructions about what they can do, what they must do, but obviously nobody sits on their shoulder all the time. And I just wonder, we've had several mentions in texts and emails over the past few days whether or not the COMIS should be brought back. Do you remember the COMIS lockdown, the big fence and everything? Richard in Onken said, I think it's right to criticise Paul Moulton. I don't like his approach at the briefings. He's always on the attack. He's been in the business long enough to know by now how to get his point of view over and get his questions. Well, Richard, that's Paul's job. That's what he does. So how he does it, of course, is up to him. People will always have opinions about anybody in the media. People making up exemptions is spoiling things for the tiny number of people who genuinely can't wear masks. Shops are starting to offer an alternative of a face shield in some places in the UK. Funny how people manage to wear a mask after all when that's the alternative. A note in says the Gaiety was described as the latest low-risk location by the public health, but surely it's a high-risk location given its fit with all the scenarios described at the government face covering guidance. And again, I've had some requests in this morning to go through those low-risk locations for COVID-19, which I will in a moment.
For the time being, Pascos are closing our doors to keep in line with current government regulations and to protect all our customers and our team. But don't worry, we're still here for urgent replacements and can carry out contactless doorstep deliveries. Just leave a message on the showroom answer machine at 676066 or email pascos@manx.net. And as soon as we're able to reopen, Pascos will be ready to welcome you back in store. Stay safe from all of us at Pascos of Tramode, your island's premier electrical appliance retailer.
Now it's ShopRite. You can get our low prices on your favourite national brands, or you can switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 50%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
These days, it's more important than ever to have your personal matters in order. From wills, estates and trusts, to future planning, family matters and more. And now, as always, Mann Benham are here for you. We can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. For all legal services, Mann Benham can assist you remotely, quickly and efficiently. Call us today on 639 350 or visit mannbenham.com. Mann Benham. We're here for you.
Rex Motor Company is still selling their huge range of new vehicles through Click and Collect. Browse our stock online and chat to our friendly team, who'll give further details and even a personalised video tour of the vehicle. Rex Motor Company are still accepting Part X, and finance can be arranged via online signatures. And when you come to collect, our showroom has hand sanitising stations and social distancing throughout. Just send Rex Motor Company a Facebook message or call 622-111.
It's 2021 and we are back. Yes, Radio Caroline North is back this weekend with a great selection of music from the 60s to the early 90s. Our sponsors this time are Feature Story News, and it's a chance to win some virtual money to spend in the Caroline webshop with our competition. Join us from 6 a.m. Saturday till 9 p.m. Sunday evening, right here on Caroline North.
Live on Max Radio and Radio Caroline, 1368 a.m.
This is The Man in Line on Manx Radio through till 1 o'clock, Monday to Friday from midday through till 1. 7 cases of COVID-19 on the island. Man, there was confusion at the government media conference as the numbers changed more than once. The health minister said there were 6. Updated figures have now confirmed 7. On active cases, it was initially announced 21. It is 27. So for the record, 7 new cases yesterday, 27 active cases, none in hospital, all self-isolating. And that full list of low-risk locations for COVID-19 was published. The Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart, spoke at yesterday's media briefing and said places have been visited by someone who later tested positive for COVID-19. And they are, this is the full list, Wednesday 30th of December, 5:30 till 6, Paparazzi on Loch Prom in Douglas. From 7 till finish, the upstairs circle of the Gaiety Theatre in Douglas. Friday the 1st of January, from 2:30 till 4:30, Barbary Coast on North Quay in Douglas. Saturday the 2nd of January, from 1 till 2, the Bay Hotel in Shaw Road, Port Erin. Sunday 3rd, from 1 to 1:45, Tesco in Lake Road and Douglas. Tuesday the 5th, from midday 30, Marks and Spencer in Drumgold Street in Douglas. Wednesday the 6th of January, 12:30 till 12:50, the Entertainer in the Strand Shopping Centre, the toy shop that is, and from 1 till 1:15 on Wednesday the 6th, Boots, Strand Street in Douglas. Dr. Ewart said, with a number of busy venues identified, including the Gaiety, there is a concern to the community. The risk is low and it applies to those who were in these locations at very specific times. They release details of low-risk venues and the relevant days and times so that those who were present know to be extra vigilant and keep a lookout for any COVID-19 signs and symptoms they may develop. And, of course, the symptoms are a temperature of more than 37.8. 37 is normal, 37.8 is 100 Fahrenheit, so anything over 37.8. A new or persistent cough, which means coughing a lot for more than an hour, or three or more coughing episodes in 24 hours. For people who usually have a cough, it may be worse than usual. So a new or persistent is coughing a lot for more than an hour, or three or more coughing episodes in 24 hours, or the loss or change to someone's normal sense of smell or taste. Okay, taste and smell are obviously linked, but first of all, if you lose your normal sense of smell. So cough, temperature, and loss of smell first, and then smell and taste. Those are the symptoms you need to be watching out for. As it's compulsory, says this correspondent, to wear a face mask on public transport, we're being told to act if we're carrying the virus. Why aren't bus drivers wearing them? If they won't or can't accept a passenger without a face mask, is a passenger within their right to hold up the bus and make the driver wear a mask? Stay safe. David, hub schools are for vulnerable children and children from essential key workers, and when they have no alternative. I work in a hub school, and this isn't happening. Parents are taking advantage of the key worker system in place. Some key workers have a partner working at home but still bring their children to school, so the other parent has a place to work. I've personally seen key worker parents shopping in town while their children are at the hub schools. I personally think they should have to provide rotas and proof that they're actually working, says Pamela. Before getting in your car, you need to ask yourself, is it an essential journey? Ask if it can't be postponed for a few weeks. We all managed last in the lockdown, so I don't see any reason why we can't manage nowadays. I don't know if anyone has noticed the amount of DOI vans that seem to be just driving around at the moment, says Andrew. What's going on? Well, have you got more time to look, Andrew, nowadays? I don't know. Single adults are unable to form support bubbles, despite many working from home, says Jane, and therefore providing no risk at all. The government's acknowledged a serious mental health issue, and this will be an ongoing issue following the pandemic. Advice from the COVID non-emergency helpline, whose only suggestion was to offer the number of mental health services. Surely prevention is better than cure, particularly where no risk is there and it is cost neutral. More notes in about primary school children. Surely primary school children should be told to wear face coverings too at school, especially as COVID was found in a primary school. Keeping it in secondary schools doesn't make any sense. I'm Sue. I work in a hub school as well. Pete says allowing university students to return for Christmas was a mistake. Well, we don't know the who's, why's, what's and wherefores of what happened. Lots of people did come in for Christmas. Lots of people did go away for Christmas and have come back. We are where we are. We don't quite know, do we, as well? The gardener should be able to work on his own. You can still sell things on Facebook, buy cars, and no one-way system in Tesco or ShopRite. So surely people should be able to garden. I think we should stop criticising the government, says Richard. The government is doing everything it can to contain the disease. A simple mistake with numbers yesterday should surely be overlooked when you consider how well they've controlled things up until this point. Well, we have to keep our fingers crossed for the next fortnight. Mr. Quayle said that yesterday, didn't he? That we have to make sure that we get several, many days of no cases. Up until now, we've been getting days and cases. 7 cases yesterday. Let's just keep our fingers crossed that everything is working. A note in that just says, I'm glad I'm not the Chief Minister. We've got so many COVID experts. I think the Chief Minister is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. I think the vast majority agree with you. Everybody knows that government is doing the best it can. And there are two arms of government, of course. We have elected representatives. We have civil servants who are the officers who are doing the work. And up until now, we seem to be going in the right direction. I can't get my head around this 21-day circuit break. Nobody really wants any of these measures in place, says Jeff. But I feel that so many people aren't taking this seriously enough. So maybe as tough as it would be, can't we just have a total lockdown, not this half-hearted attempt at stopping it? people really don't seem to be following. Let's stomach the pain for a brief total lockdown instead of fooling ourselves and possibly going into a total medical disaster, says Jeff as well. What I'd say to people, says this correspondent, who are scared of vaccines is grow up and get off social media for a few days. Just going back to what Jeff said, I would imagine that the government has got several plans about what's going to happen over the next few days. And depending on the number of cases that are reported, we'll see. Anyway, that's it for the Man in Line today. Thank you very much for your correspondence, texts, emails and calls. Everything we receive is read. Not everything is used on air, but everything is read. And of course, kept on file for us to peruse in the future. And by the way, yes, to all the people who've suggested sending in photos of flowers for spring, the more the merrier. If you want to send me in your photos of your crocuses and daffodils, celandines and snowdrops, then do. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. I'm Andy Wynn, and the Man in Line is back tomorrow at 12 noon on Manx Radio.